Amen. I dearly love these words, that when we are looking at the beginning of the Gospel of John, and you hear these words, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was the life, and the life was the light of all people. When I take those that epilogue, that beginning of John, and I put it together with those first words inside of 1 John, here's what I get, and here's what I want you to understand. God's Word is life, and life is light, and the light is Christ, and Christ is love, and you and I are the children of life and light and love. This is what is incredibly important. You and I are the children of life and light and loved. And so what do I want you to do with that? I want you to be loved, and I want you to do love. What is amazing to me, and sometimes a little bit scary, is that when I say to people, I want you to be loved, I want you to feel like you are loved, a lot of times the answers that I get are really dodging the issue. I can love others, but I'm not worthy of being loved. I've made too many mistakes. There are too many dark things in my life that you don't understand. I really and truly can't be loved. Now, we may not say it in those specific words, but the fact is there are a lot of us who feel that we're not worthy of being loved. So today, we're going to begin by saying, be loved. I want you to be loved. And out of that, I want you to do love. And in order to get into this a little more deeply, I want to give you a ridiculous parallel to it. Be taxied so you can do taxi. We have taxis here in Spearfish, and so you'll see the Canyon cab running up and down the street. They have a sign on the side of the car and a phone number that you can call. You and I can call Canyon cab, and we can go anywhere inside of the Northern Hills. But the fact of the matter is that 99.9% of the taxis are not at Canyon cab. They're with you. Is there one of us that has not had a kid that we have taxied? Maybe it's our own children, maybe it's our neighbor children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, maybe it's adults. Somebody who came to us and said, can I have a ride? Can you drive me too? And we become the taxi. So here's the deal, it's both together. We are taxied, we be taxied, and we do taxi. And it takes both together. All right, so the very first professional taxi ride that I ever had in my life was when I was 19 years old, and it was not in the United States. It was in downtown India. As a 19-year-old, I took a class, a college class over that was a trip to India, and I wound up in the city of Mumbai, a city of 8 million at that point. And what was amazing to me was how they ran their streets. On their big streets, they actually have paint that they have lanes going down their streets. This is some of the most wasted paint in the country of India. Their cars are much smaller, their lanes are much smaller, and so where you and I would have three lanes, they would get five or six lanes crammed in. And where they would have five or six lanes painted on the street, they would have eight lanes of actual traffic, and I kid you not, a ninth lane on the sidewalk. That old saying, if you don't like the way that I drive, get off the sidewalk, was literally true in downtown Mumbai. Well, I stayed there for a month with a host, with the Benjers family, and Mr. Benjers one evening said to me, would you like to go watch me teach a college class in business across town? And I said, absolutely. So after supper, we went down and flagged down a taxi. We got into the taxi. It was very, very small. It sat just the two of us. It had this little teeny weeny sewing machine engine. It was a little three-cylinder. Holy smokes, did it have pick up and go. Mr. Benjers leaned in the window, told the driver where we were going, here's the address, and he sat down beside me, closed the door, choom, boom, and we were gone. That driver was nuts, but he was amazing. It was our own little version of the Indianapolis 500. And we would go as fast as we could, and then we would get to a stoplight. Shunk! Off would go the car. The driver sat back, took a drag on his cigarette, pulled out his crossword puzzle book, and just sat and watched the light. When he was watching not the light in front of us, he was watching the cross light. When the cross light turned yellow, another drag of the cigarette, down went the crossword puzzle book, on went the car, whoosh, boom, before the light even turned green. He was out the door and gone, and we made it. And we made it. I was officially taxied. Now, 3 weeks later, I was home. At that point in my life, I was the very proud owner and driver of a 1974 Dodge Adventurer pickup with club cab and topper with auxiliary fuel tank. What this meant, oh, I'd never thought about this before. What this meant was that I could be a taxi. And so when my friends who didn't have cars or whose cars wouldn't start, they would ask me, could you give me a ride downtown? I, who had been taxied, now could taxi others. Not in the same way, mind you. I was a much more sane driver. But you see, that's part of it. You know, somebody taxis us, and then we get to taxi others, but we get to do it in our own way. We get to take our own route. We get to use our own techniques. Now, simply translate that back into this saying, be loved, do love. The two are very, very connected. Be loved. When I get into a taxi anywhere in this world, the taxi driver never asks me, are you worthy? Are you worth it? Are you good enough? No. If anything, they would ask, do you have enough money to pay for this trip? That's all they care about, and away we go. The same is true of love. When I'm saying be loved, what I know is that there are times in our lives when each of us says, but I'm not worth it. I've made too many mistakes. No. Yes. Be loved. Know that you have been created by God and that you are a child of God. God's word is life. Life is light. Light is Christ. Christ is love. We are the children of God, and therefore we are the children of life and light and love. I want you to know that you are loved, that you are accepted, that you are worth everything in God's eyes. And that needs to be spoken again and again so that you can do love. Be loved, do love. It's all of this that we are able to reach out and to love others. Let me tell you one of the reasons that I love those first words in the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was life, and the life was the light of all people. This is a very, very particular passage. It is called the epilogue to John. When the gospel according to John was first written in its original format, in its original document, those words did not exist. They weren't on there. We know this because we have been able to go back and find the ancient copies of John, and they're missing. Somehow, some way, one of the later copiers, maybe the original author or maybe somebody farther down the road, somebody said, oh, this would be even better, bigger, stronger. This would be more powerful if we would add this. Be loved. Do love. Because God's word is life, and life is light, and light is Christ, and Christ is love. Be loved, do love. That's the power of this. But listen to this. there was another part of John that was missing. The first verses in the first chapter of John were gone. They did not exist. The eighth chapter of John did not exist. It was added in later. Let me tell you that story. Jesus was out in a village, and as he was in the village square, men of the community were dragging a woman to him, a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. And they came to Jesus and said, "All right, Rabbi, what do you think? What do we do with her?" Now, they knew what the answer was. The answer is, if you are a woman who is caught in adultery, that you will be stoned to death. This was given to Jesus because it was a trap. They wanted to know if he was going to abide by the rules. And Jesus said to them, "What do you think we should do?" "Well, we should stone her." And Jesus' answer to that, as he stooped down and began writing in the dust, was, "Well, let the one of you who is without sin throw the first stone." And nobody picked up a stone. Eventually, those men began to disappear. And eventually, the woman was just left alone with Jesus. And he looked up at her and said, "Where are your accusers?" And she said, "They've all gone." So Jesus replied, "I don't accuse you either. Go, but don't sin anymore." That entire story was missing out of the original document of John. Somehow, some way, as the years went by, somebody said, "That story needs to be in there." It's the only place in the entire Bible that that story is in there, because somebody thought it was important. And so they added it in. What is that story all about? Be loved. The love of God that we experience is an unconditional love that is more powerful than any mistakes that you have made. It is more powerful than any sins that you have enacted. It is more powerful than anything. This was the point of that story, and it is directly connected to those early words that you heard. God's word is life, and life is light, and light is Christ. And Christ is love. This is who we are. We are children of life and light and love. So that we can be loved, so we can do love. Here comes 2019, and I will guarantee you, we will all have to take our patience pills at some time. We will all be tested and angered. We will all be frustrated. And we will all have moments of incredible joy. We will all have moments of fulfillment. We will. And when we do this, we carry it with love in order to be able to say, we are the children of life and love and light. And as such, we have the ability to change our world. We have the ability to transform the world in which we live. We have the ability to transform the families in which we live. We have the ability to transform our church. We have the ability to transform our community. We are the ones. We have the ability to do this when we claim the fact that we are loved in spite of all the mistakes that we've made. In spite of all the things that we get wrong, we are loved. And in turn, we can love others in spite of all the mistakes they've made and all the things that they've gotten wrong. That's who we are. And that is what I want you to know today. When we look at these words, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. That's the light that we live in. May it be this week that as we celebrate this new year, that you celebrate the love of Christ, that you celebrate the light, And in Christ, there is no darkness at all, because this is where the work of Christmas begins. We celebrate the coming of the Christ child in this last week, but no, now is when the work of Christmas truly begins. We'd like to share a song with you. It's called The Work of Christmas. These words are by Howard Thurman, and the music is by Les Stahl. And so we share with you. If you want to sing along, you're welcome to, but as it is a new song for many, it's also a time to simply absorb, to listen, and to be in prayer. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, then the work of Christmas begins. The work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoners, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among brothers, to make music in the heart, to make music in the heart. To find the lost, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoners, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among brothers, to make music in the heart, to make music in the heart. Would you pray with me? Lord of love and life, we give thanks for the work of Christmas in our hearts, for you have loved us, and we in turn love others. So, Lord, now walk with us, that we might be the children of light. In Jesus' name, amen. We would come before God, worshiping with our tithes and our offerings, simply returning